You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So, hi everyone. If you don't already know me, my name is Maggie and I'm your class publicist. And I'm so excited to welcome today's speaker. If you went on the sophomore retreat, you've already met him once and you loved him, and now he's back for round two. So I first met him at the end of my sophomore year in high school as my youth pastor, and now he's become more of a mentor and a friend. But outside of youth pastor, he is a teacher at Summit Christian. He's a husband, and he has four adorable children. But overall, he just has a deep love for Jesus, and I know that he's brought that heart with him today to share with you here in chapel. So without further ado, Fontez Hill.
All right. Maggie was over at my house last night watching my four kids, and I don't know if they were that adorable. They really are. They're precious. I love them. Sometimes it's just a party. It's a different type of party, though. So does anyone have kids? Maybe the adults back there. Yeah, so you know what I mean, that type of party. They are lovely and loud. Yes. So I see Josiah back there, see some of my youth, I got some of my adult leaders here, so I feel like I'm uncle, you know, I'm family. And I remember some of y'all from the high school, I'm used to talking to my middle school and high schoolers and teaching high school Bible class. I remember some of y'all from the sophomore retreat, so seeing some of y'all's familiar faces. And some of you guys I have not met, but hopefully, you know, we'll get together some other time. So I'm here. If you ever need me, just don't ask for money, because I don't have much of that. I just want you guys to know that just don't be thinking of me as just a speaker, but, you know, you can reach out to my email or anything, and I'm always here to talk, okay? So I'm going to pray again, and let's see where the Lord leads us. Oh, and worship team, thank you all so much. I play piano, cajon, drums. I sing if I have to, but, like, when y'all start flowing and all that, I'm like, oh, I see a little mashup. Like, go ahead. Like, that's my thing. That's my thing. If you know how to flow in the same key and all that. So very good. Very awesome. That's like super important for me. All right. Well, Holy Spirit, Lord, we welcome you here. And you are already here in our midst as we gather. God, Lord, if Jesus, you don't show up, if you don't come, then we had another class lecture. And I don't want to be here and just talk to him. God, I want them to see Jesus. Lord, we want to grow and to see Jesus this morning. So, Heavenly Father, have your way. Come move mightily, powerfully in our midst. Do whatever you want to do. In Jesus' precious name. All God's people say, amen. So there's been this theme for the month of October so far, which is, what is the theme? It's like become, what is it again, Maggie? Abide and become. And then the 10th, y'all had this harvest fruit of the Spirit thing. And so I was asked to kind of blend into that theme this morning on John 15. Now, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn in John 15. Raise your hand if you've ever read this chapter before, John 15. Let me ask again, raise your hand if you ever read John 15. I'm trying to see if I need to read this or not. Okay, some of y'all don't have your hands up. I'm going to read it then. So John 15, 1 through 17. I actually wanted to just kind of do a quick little summarization, but I'm going to read it for those who've never dived into John chapter 15. And I talked a little bit about this at the sophomore retreat, but I'm going to camp out on mainly like two verses this morning, if that's okay. Now, John 15, guess who it's written by? Very good. College students. Awesome. Yeah, you've got John, who is writing, and this is his gospel account. And I love John because one of his nicknames is John the what? Who said it? Say it louder. Oh, yeah, Larry. So you got John the Beloved, right? So he's the beloved disciple. He knew his identity in Christ. Super key, super important. That's the gist of this message this morning. So he gave it away. What is John's, one of his nicknames? John the what? One more time. I need y'all to talk to me. John the Beloved. Right. So beloved means to be dearly loved, to be loved, dearly loved one, or to be loved. So I want that to be everyone's identity this morning is Jake the Beloved, Abby the Beloved, Josiah the Beloved, right? Is I know who I am in Christ and I'm a dearly loved individual by Jesus. Is that good news? Yeah, that you are dearly loved by the creator of the universe. And so John knew this. This was his personality. This is his identity, is I am the beloved disciple. He wasn't coming off as arrogant, as condescending or anything. He was just, he knows who he is, his confidence in Christ. And so Jesus speaking says, I am the true vine. This is New King James Version if you got your phone. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This is one of the verses that we're going to be camping out in, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who's the branches? Yeah, Christians, believers, okay? He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. How much fruit? For without me, you can do anything you want. Right, yeah, and I don't want, that ain't what it say. I'm like, what? What translation? No. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That's great. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's another emphasis verse right there. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. I think some translations might say complete. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Look to your neighbor and say, I love you. Look to your other neighbor and say, I love you more. Okay? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you what? Friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Everybody say remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you that you love who? Love one another. All right. My goodness, I feel the Spirit of God just reading this. Sometimes I just love reading the scriptures out loud. I don't know what about it. Yeah, I love how some preachers will say, I didn't know there's people, I didn't even know that existed. I see people up there. Like, what? We got a cloud of witnesses. So we've got, I love how people say, if you want to hear God's voice, open up the Bible and read it out loud, right? Like, just, I don't know, I feel just anointing, just reading that passage of scripture out loud. And so what you want to do is whenever you hear this is put yourself in the position of Jesus is speaking to you, right? If pretending, obviously I'm not one of those weird, like, I'm Jesus on the, no. So, like, if I'm Jesus and I'm writing to you, or, you know, John's writing and this is Jesus talking, but if I'm Jesus and I'm saying, abide in me as I abide in the Father and you will bear much fruit, you have to get that perspective, okay? Like, putting yourself in that shoes that you will bear much fruit if you do what? Abide in me. So what does it mean to abide? Some of y'all probably already know this. They give away one of the words right there is remain or dwell. Got it? So abide means simply to remain or dwell. Go to verse 5 real fast. Let me show you all something. There's going to be some different questions that I'm going to ask you, and we're going to go out of that. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, whenever I was asked to do this, I was thinking to myself, I was driving in my car, and I was going, last time at the sophomore retreat, I had this, like, chip kind of thing, because my son, there's spiritual warfare sometimes, different speaking engagements that I have, and my son's face blew up, like, the night before. Yeah, and I just got a message that morning, like, completely swollen from, like, a mosquito bite, something weird. And so I was ready to kick the devil in his teeth. And so I was, like, fired up in that way. So you're getting not that same type of passion. Like, I was ready, like, to fight that that morning. This morning, I'm more ready to, like, bring heaven, okay? So I was ready to fight the devil that morning. This morning, I'm ready to bring heaven, okay? So I'm believing that someone in here is going to be captivated by the love of God. Amen? Okay, so here's the question. What is the purpose of fruit on a tree? Think for yourselves. What is the purpose? Here's the question. What is the purpose of fruit on a tree? Are you thinking? Don't just listen and just don't listen. Just be thinking too, okay? Here's the first purpose. I didn't get this from research or anything, but just in my own thought and opinions. The first purpose of fruit on a tree is to display what type of tree it is. Okay? Have you heard this before in the scriptures? Either let the tree be good or bad. For a good tree bears what type of fruit? And a bad tree bears? So one of the first purposes of a tree, of a fruit on a certain type of tree, is to show it's that type of tree. Wouldn't it be very strange if an orange came off of an apple tree? Have you ever seen that happen? I haven't. If you have, I just thought of a really bad joke, but I'm not going to say it out loud. It's an abnormal tree. We'll just do that one. Okay? So if you have, it's a little abnormal. Okay? A little abnormal. The second purpose, so the first purpose is to reveal what? What's the purpose of a fruit on a tree? Yeah, to reveal what type of tree it is. And then the second purpose is for people to recognize and eat from it. Got it? So the first purpose is for you and also others to identify, like, where is this person coming from? And the second is, what type of fruit are they displaying that I'm going to get from them? You with me so far? So who in here struggles with, like, this, like, saying thank you? If I say, man, you had a really good jump, or anybody play basketball? Okay, so if I say, man, you just crossed this dude's ankles up. I see you got, yeah. You just crossed the dude's ankles up. He needs to go to the hospital. And then you may struggle with, oh, I, you know, that's all God, right? Well, there's this, like, false humility thing of, like, that's all God, because it wasn't that good, right? So, like, you know, it was good, but, I mean, like, if God would have did it, like, he would have been already sent to eternity, not only just to the hospital. So, I mean, there is just, I feel like I needed to submit that to someone today, because I know sometimes at this age, we can struggle with, like, saying thank you and praise the Lord. So, like, that's, like, a habit of mine, is when people say, good job, I'll say, hey, thank you, praise God, because I want to give the glory to God, but I also want to be okay with acknowledging their celebration, okay? So you can do nothing unless you abide in me. But also, it's not this false humility thing of that's all God, okay? It's God using you, Christ in you, the hope of what? Hope of glory. Okay, so as I was praying in my car, I was thinking to myself, Maggie wants me to do this, abide and become, this John 15. I love John 15. God, what do you want? And not a whole lot came. There's times where I do deep dive, research, you know, exegesis on different stuff. And then there's other times where the Lord just downloads a message to me. This was kind of neutral. It was like just throughout the past few weeks, even something he spoke to me this morning. So I've just been kind of being trying to be in tune with the Lord's voice and seeing what he wants me to do. And this is what I wrote down. I can offer you my personality, but I don't want you to miss his presence. And that's why I wanted to start with that prayer, is because I can give you a very good message. I know how to do that by now. But I don't want to forfeit God's presence. So I want you to hear and see Jesus, however the Holy Spirit needs to minister and touch you this morning. So that's just my goal. Go to verse 10 real quick. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So that is the answer to the question of, well, we know that if we abide in Christ, we bear much fruit. So how do you abide in Christ? Do what? Yeah, keep his commandments. The answer is right there in the text. The question, how do you abide in Christ? In other words, how do you remain and stick with Jesus? How do you flow with him in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit? You do what? Verse 10? Everyone talk to me. What do you do? Verse 10, it's right there. Yeah, you got to obey and keep his commandments. Well, he summarized them into two, right? There's 613 in the Levitical law, and then you've got 10 that was given to Moses, and then he comes on the scene and says, well, there's summarized in two, and then even one later on, but what are the two? Love who? Yes. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then what was the second one? It's like the first one. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Now watch this. He says, if you love God and love people, you will abide in me. However, we love God because he what? He first loved us. We love God. If you're a Christian, you love God because God first loved you. So here's another question. Is the gospel still good news to you this morning? Is the gospel right now even still good to you? Because the gospel means what? Good news. And so we've got to recalibrate our minds. I'm teaching you practically how to abide in him. We've got to recalibrate our minds on this glorious gospel is still good even in my suffering. This gospel is still good. Guys, if today's Wednesday, so all day Monday, and then some of yesterday morning, I was replacing a toilet. Okay? And it was frustrating. It was difficult. Just bought my first house, and I Googled, can you replace your own toilet, or do you have to get a plumber? And they said, like, you can get a plumber if you want to, but it's a do-it-your-own-self type of thing. You can do it on your own. So I was like, okay, like, I'm going to install a toilet because I like to fix things whenever I can discover how to do it. I did not know it was going to take this long. It's only supposed to take about 3 to 4 hours for a beginner, but there were some issues that I came across, like this broken nut. I had to grab extra tools. It was a very old toilet that I had to get out and then put in a new one. Has anyone ever replaced a toilet? Yeah, like so you guys are ahead of me, but I ran into some issues, and I did not expect to spend all afternoon and night Monday up to like 1 a.m., and then Tuesday morning after I went to school, came back home, and then went to church afterwards because I had to fix the toilet. So I remember just praying and praying and praying as I'm fixing this toilet going, Holy Spirit, give me something. Holy Spirit, work. Show me something. Just like something's got to happen. Nothing. Has anyone ever been there before? Like you're looking for a breakthrough, and sometimes he does. But in this moment, it just didn't happen. And so I finally get a fix, and my wife was going, hey, you finally get a fix. How was it? And I was like, oh, this is frustrating. But she said, well, it was attractive that you still didn't lash out or get mad or treat me differently because of your frustration of working on this toilet. And what fruit was displayed right there? Self-control, right? So it's me boasting in Christ about I was frustrated, but I love how this one preacher says it. Whenever you squeeze, y'all probably heard this before, whenever you squeeze an apple, you get what? Apple juice. When you squeeze an orange, you get? Right, so it would be weird if you squeezed an apple and got orange juice, right? And then how come it's weird whenever we squeeze a Christian, but we get everything but Jesus? And so, like, I love how that's said, is because, like, whenever the pressure came upon me and I'm spending hours on working on this toilet, what's going to come out? And thank goodness it wasn't, don't talk to me, woman. You know, thank goodness it wasn't that. I was able to control my emotions. Worship team, come back up. So I want to share a little bit of my testimony and then give a little altar call. A lot of this I summarized through. There's so much more I wanted to say. But in 2017, so I was 23 years old. I'm 31 now. And I remember being this super lukewarm Christian. Maybe some of you guys in here are not even believers. Maybe some of you guys in here, you know about Jesus. You know Jesus, but you don't abide in him. Like, so you're a Christian, but are you really in Christ? Like, walking with him. And that's what we're all growing towards, right? Is glory to glory. So I remember growing up, going to church, but there was like this two sides of me. There was the, so I went to Campbell's University. I played football there. I was a good college student. And then it was like I'd go home and go party. I was even the one that would throw the hotel parties. And just living this double lifestyle. So I did that all the way till I was 23. And I remember just getting sick and tired of the same old cycles of sin. And y'all have heard this before, right? But I was tired of the same old sins that I was committing. And I had friends who were set free from different things that I was still struggling with. And I'm going, okay, what makes them different from me? And if the Bible talks about whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed, and Romans talks about, you know, go and sin no more, I'm missing something. Either this thing is not real, or I'm not living into it. And what I came to was the scriptures are alive and acted, and it's able to birth the fruit of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and then great kingdom exploits. It's able to transform and change us if we fully submit and surrender. So I got to this point where I remember, you know, I struggled badly with girls and pornography. Like, everyone has, like, different sins, and then there's always, like, one or two that's, like, your stronghold. And so I could not get this thing off of me, and I didn't know what a vision was. Some of you guys probably have those things, but I remember I had just got done committing a certain sin. And I'm in my apartment. This is whenever I worked for Campbell's University, and I was 23. I'm in my apartment, and I get this vision of Jesus on the cross. I didn't know it was a vision. There's two types of vision. There's an open vision and a closed vision, meaning how I see you, some people can see things, and it's that real. It's a little more rare, but that's like that type of thing. And then most of the time, it's like in your head. It's like you're daydreaming, right? Like if I say, think about a zebra. Maybe not everyone has that imagination to be able to do it, but you can think of a zebra in your head. Got it? Okay. So that's what was happening. Is like very vividly in my head, I saw Jesus on a cross, and it was this simple. It was him dying for the entire world, right? John 3:16. And the perspective that I got is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so it was Jesus not only seeing the people in that time, but all of existence. People before, during, and after that's ever going to be created. So it was multitudes of people. And I remember in this vision, seeing like this atheist crying out, "Why are you even doing this?" Just yelling at Jesus, like, "What are you doing on the cross? Like, why are you even doing this?" And him passionately yelling out, "Don't you get it? Like, it's this simple. Don't you get it? It's because I love you." Like, just as you would think that he would say, "Don't you?" And he's yelling, like, "Don't you get it?" Like, as he's on the cross, "I love you. I'm dying for you." And then I just began to weep and just cry as I'm in this vision, like, getting rocked. And then God is so amazing with his divine timing. Divine timing. So I go through this vision, and I'm going, "I'm sorry, God. I'm tired of committing the same sins." And I get this text from my friend saying, "Hey, we're having this Bible study at my house. You should come over." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll go check it out." I go over, and we start watching this video of a guy named Dan Moeller. And Dan Moeller is just talking about the love of God. And there's two things that he mentions. He says, "God loves living inside of me." You know, you've heard this story many times. He says, "God loves living inside of me." And then he mentioned something about healing. And I grew up in a church where we saw different things happen, but I thought healing and like, the supernatural, all that was just for like the really cool man or woman of God, but it wasn't for the body of Christ. And I realize now that if your identity is rooted in Christ, you're going to see the things that Jesus did, right? Because he told us that we will. So when he mentioned that, I was going, "Whoa, like this for today?" And the second, the first thing he mentioned about God loves, he's just going around preaching. He's like, "God loves living inside of me." Kind of like John the Beloved, right? Is, "I'm the beloved disciple. God loves me." And Dan Moeller was saying that. When he said, "God loves living inside of me," I had two visions in the same night, not knowing what a vision was. So I go into another vision. And in this one, it was my old house I used to live in. And in my old house, I hated going back home after college for different breaks because we had bad roach infestations. And so it was just roaches like everywhere. And I had this picture in my mind's eye that there was roaches all in this, you know, house I used to live in growing up in. And what the Holy Spirit told me was, "That's how I feel living inside of you." So Dan says, "God loves living inside of me." I go into a vision. And I see my house I used to live in, and the Holy Spirit saying, "That's how I feel living inside of you." Now, some of you guys may hear that and go, "Oh, that's horrible. That sucks." But God speaks to us how we can handle it. You know, I was a football player. I was in a foster home. Like, I came from a rough lifestyle. And so God knows that he can speak to me that hardcore. And so he didn't say it out of a condemnation, but he said it out of an invitation so that he can draw me closer to him into holiness. And so when he said that, again, I didn't even know what a vision was. They start asking around, "So what did you get out of this?" And I tell them about the vision, and they're like, "Man, that's so profound." I'm just telling them what I saw in my head. And what happened is it led me down this journey of getting set free from pornography, getting set free from people-pleasing, getting set free from different things that held me back. And so I want to tell you this morning is that you can be free from anything. Amen? You've got to actually believe it, though. I have friends that just believe that you're going to continue to do the same old thing over and over and over again. And if you don't have this mindset of you can be set free, you won't see freedom, though. So if you abide in me, you will bear much what? You will bear much fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit and great kingdom exploits. But mainly, we want to see the fruit of the Spirit, okay, by being loved by God. As we go into this worship, what I want you guys to do is close your eyes. Stand up and close your eyes. So what I'm going to have you do is as they lead in a song, I do this every now and then instead of, so go ahead and close your eyes. I do this every now and then instead of praying, because there's lots of different forms of prayer, I abide in him. Is I just sit there and go, "Lord, thank you. You love me so much." And I just kind of think about the gospel again and try to recalibrate my mind on like why I'm a believer and how good Jesus is. So as they sing, I want you to think about Jesus. And I know that's cliche and, of course, maybe said over and over again, but if you learn how to do this,
then your prayer life will explode. Because sometimes we're trying to figure out what to say. Like, God, how do I pray to you? How do I read the Bible? And sometimes he just wants you to be ministered to by him. It's, God, you love me. Thank you so much. And then now I can love him because he first loved me. So recalibrating your mind on that. Thank you, God, Lord. There's someone in here this morning that surely needs to know that they are loved by you, Jesus. And even though it's this simple message of going back to our first love and abiding in you, God, I ask that we would remain in that and we'll see transformation happen. Lord, I love you. We thank you, God, so much for how you're moving here on this campus. And God, we just want to encounter you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.